Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Welcome to it. Maybe I can just play quotes of Mike Leach like loving buffaloes the whole time.
That buffalo goes pretty well wherever he wants.
But one time in college,
Ralphie is a sheep.
We're playing.
Hold on, what's that?
Ralphie's a sheep.
That buffalo goes pretty well wherever he wants.
Sorry to hear that. I mean, it's.
Then it's got the handlers. No, they're not pulling that buffalo. That buffalo's pulling them. Nice. I mean, you see these kids run beside these buffaloes or the buffalo, and sometimes they'll wipe out or whatever.
You know what Washington State is, right? Their nickname, right?
The Cougars?
That's right.
But I don't know how good mountain lions do in captivity. I'm curious. You know, if they have just a good, happy life, like the Georgia Bulldog, where they get their own... hotel room and eat like a king. And I don't know how they do in captivity or how cooperative they are parading around the field.
How do you think mountain lions would do in hotel rooms, Chad?
Not very well.
You think a mountain lion would have a hard time in a hotel room?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they nor should they be paraded around the field. It's not the animal for that.
Well, how do you like the tiger down there at LSU?
It's in a glass cage. It's not paraded around the field.
Okay. So maybe get a mountain lion, stick it in a cage?
I'm not a fan of that. Go with
But you're okay with the tiger.
I'm not a fan of that one either.
All right.
Yeah, but I'm just my point out.
Where does Ralphie hang out when she is not charging up and down the field?
I believe there's a ranch about 10 miles away from campus where Ralphie lives, and they're always training up the next Ralphie upcoming.
So lives in a free, open space relatively for Buffalo.
Yes, Ralphie is well taken care of.
Right. Living like a normal buffalo would, and just stunningly once every couple weeks or so, or sometimes back-to-back weekends, occasionally on a Thursday night, just out of the blue, Ralphie gets swept away, and none of the buffalo know where Ralphie's going.
I don't think Ralphie's part of a herd. I think she has her own, you know.
By herself?
I believe so.
Well, that's kind of lonely.
See, the handlers are over there all the time. I think they're trying to get her to bond with the humans more than other buffaloes because of her need to perform. Now, the addition,
right? I find myself instantly fascinated with the entire Ralphie process now.
There's lots of internet reading available for you to learn more about Ralphie.
Okay,
Ralphie's gone to the Orange Bowls when we were there, which I thought that had to suck.
You can't put Ralphie on a plane.
They drove Ralphie out to the Orange Bowls.
Hmm.
That was great throughout, you know, to run out behind Ralphie, but still, it's a long, long way for a buffalo to go. It's probably hot.
A tad confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mike Leach on Ralphie. He's awesome.
One time in college, so we're playing Air Force. The Air Force has this Falcon, this trained Falcon. And as the guy's got this whistle, that's, you know, you hear him blowing this whistle like crazy. That Falcon's getting higher and higher and higher. Pretty soon, you can't see that Falcon. That Falcon just left. Falcon's seen all the football he wanted to see that day.
Now, did you hear the story about the prank in injuring the Air Force Falcon?
I did.
Yes.
Yeah. Army pulled a prank where they took, I'm sorry, I forget the Falcon's name. Go Falcons. But they took the Falcon and injured the Falcon's wings.
Both of the wings, I think.
And
yeah.
There was a fear that the Falcon would have to be euthanized. And I think the Falcon's okay. I think.
I have not had any follow-up on that.
I read more. Her name is Aurora, and she's expected to recover. Okay, good. Thank you, guys.
Good news for Aurora.
Yeah, and horrible by those jerks from Army to try to mess with our Falcon. I'm really not sure how they infiltrated the falconry area to be able to do that.
Yeah, I'm not
but I did
that.
Read the history of Air Force Falcons, and there have been a few who, once released, they just took off. Some have been recovered, like in the parking lot later, and others have just zing. Hello, nature. So it has happened. A bird who's capable of flying sometimes will fly away. I mean, that does happen.
It's got to be daunting that those first couple of flights as the Falconer keeper, does it come back? What's going to happen here?
Yeah, I'm
what
sure.
What are the odds?
I think they train them Falcons up and reward them with food, but
yes, you but know. Still, the Falcon goes up in the air.
Hey, he sees a rabbit, I'm out.
To your point, to Mike Leach's point, hey, that's enough football for me.
I love the fact that a coach would spend that. There are elements of college football, I mean, I absolutely love, that are just, you know, filled with stuff like that, that are a lot of fun. I'm more into college football than I've ever been.
This is, wow.
Yeah.
It's not only in the last 10 days have you flipped your...
I haven't flipped.
Changed your perception of the Broncos.
I wouldn't even say change. I said it's coming to a realization of the situation.
Resignation, acceptance, realization.
All right, yeah. Don't say flipped. I don't like flipped.
All right, well, I won't use flipped. I won't frame you in that one. And now you're coming around to college football.
Yeah, I just got to get
you
past
hated
the...
It. It was just last year.
Well, it's
you
the inherent corrupt nature of the sport itself by the NCAA, which I can't stand, but...
Separate the game from the
if I can
lunacy
do that,
of the NCAA.
Right. It's pretty cool.
It's awesome.
And I'm a just such a big Pac-12 fan. It's ridiculous. I love the Pac-12. Like, I was watching highlights of Bol Bol playing basketball up at Oregon the other day, and I was just amazed. It's just like loving Bol Bol. And I was like, yeah, he's in Oregon. Right on. I mean, we get to see Bol Bol in person at CU sometime this year.
So you're always watching the Pac-12 network, huh?
Dude, I love the Pac-12 network.
Every Pac-12 sporting event,
it's ridiculous,
is televised.
I've watched ASU lacrosse. Yeah, because they just got a lacrosse team. Yeah.
Tennis, name it. It's all
a hoot
there.
Because my kid is part of the 942 crew, so it's the student. They do basketball. They do the curtain of distraction. They do the football games. They do all that.
That's like the C unit of the CU.
That's right. Uh-huh. That's right. Every school's probably got one, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So he loves it. He's having such a fun. But they'll go to everything. I mean, they'll go to like the soccer games and stuff. They went to Arizona for women's volleyball, and I was watching him for like 2.5 straight hours on the Pac-12 network. Because he's standing right there. Every time somebody served from one end of the court, I'm like, there's my kid.
That's awesome.
I mean, I got kind of bored with it. I was like, okay. I've watched him now for like 20 minutes, and I don't know what exactly is going on with this volleyball game. I was like, yeah, okay. No, it's just a hoot. And because of that, my appreciation of these athletes and these kids and the universities themselves, I've been lucky to be at quite a few of these universities now. Yeah. Blows me away. I'm so glad CU's part of the Pac-12.
Yeah.
I think it's so much better than where they were before.
What kid grows up thinking, I can't wait to play Iowa State? You grow up wishing you could play against USC.
Yeah.
Against Stanford, against Washington.
Yeah.
You don't ever think, oh, man, one day I'm going to get to play in Missouri.
Right. On an ice skating rink.
Right.
So
right.
You get fifth down. So, which, because of the way that field was, you guys deserve to have a fifth down in that particular game, by the way.
I've watched that game a number of times in the last couple of months.
It's ridiculous.
Literally 100-plus slips.
Yeah, they didn't get cheated. If that field was legit and not tricked up like they did, you would have won by 30 points.
Easily.
But they tricked it up.
Yeah.
And
karma's funny. It's so funny what karma does to you.
Good for CJ.
Yeah. Good for CJ. And Colorado and the Buffs.
Good for all you guys.
Yes. Now
you got to somehow get over the fact that you just had the worst loss in program history. I don't know how you get over that one, man. I don't know how you do it. And then you go down to Arizona and you give up 42 to Arizona, who's kind of not been great this year. I mean, they beat Oregon, which was a big win for them. But, I mean, they just haven't been the team that...
Well, Khalil Tate got hurt early. They were trying to change the offense to pass more. So, coach, some of that...
You got to win. You got to win those games in front of, like... Arizona does a lousy job even getting fans to the game. I mean, you know, there's no atmosphere down in Tucson for football.
No, it's not. It's not an exciting place.
No, the only thing that was exciting was basketball, and they were clearly cheaters in that department. And they got a great baseball. Well, they've had in the past a great baseball team. But you realize they play baseball 2 miles away from their stadium at High Corbett Field. Nobody goes to those games. Not really.
Right.
So Arizona's a weird joint. You can't lose to the Wildcats, CU. You can't do it. You got to beat those guys.
3 weeks ago, they would have beat them. But the Wildcats have improved that much.
What is going on with you guys, by the way?
5-0 start, baby.
Mm.
it's kind of fallen off.
You realize before ASU, your combined winning total was 1-16 of opponents that you had beat to be 5-0. Your collective teams went 1-16 leading into that ASU game.
Now, when they were 5-0, you didn't hear me jumping up and down and screaming at them.
All right, that's fair.
I called the New Hampshire game. They played down to New Hampshire's level. It was from a completely different level of football. So it was clear to me at that point, they were not as good as everyone thought they were.
Do you know, I grew up maybe 40 minutes from the University of New Hampshire. I grew up my whole life. I had no idea they had a football team.
They're like a powerhouse over there in the whatever that conference is out there.
What do you think that conference is over there? You think that's a bevy of football stars over there in against the Atlantic Ocean?
For that division, that level of football, they are a consistent team.
Are they, WAC Maine, the Orono Black Bears? They take care of the Montpelier Pilots? I mean, what do they do?
They win the division. Okay.
All right. We'll take a quick break. The Broncos have some big decisions to make in terms of where they go in the future. And Chad, I know you got some opinions on it, so we'll get to that next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
So scared of breaking it that you won't let it bend.
Chad Brown in for
200 letters, I will never
in say. For Alfred.
Sometimes it cuts so much deeper than they see.
Does D-Mac know Chenault was injured around the same time? Might be a accurate indicator. Such a dummy about me. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, because
LaViscus was hurt.
Because he plays defense, and because he wasn't out there, the defense surrendered a 28-point lead.
If you're trying to make excuses for CU gagging away a 28-point lead to one of the worst defensive schools in the country, who had lost 22 straight road games. Dude.
I'm a Buff. There's no doubt about that. I bleed black and gold. I look at life through black and gold lenses. But my goodness, to try to put Chenault into that equation there. Come on,
dude. Oregon State missed an extra point that would have won the game in regulation, and CU still lost in overtime. When they missed that extra point, I was like, oh, okay, Oregon State be like Oregon State. I mean, we're gonna win here in overtime.
I turned the game off.
It's unbelievable.
I turned the game off when the Buffs had the lead, and I turned it back on later on. I was like, oh, my goodness. I got to start over and, like, grab my DVR copy so I can see how this happened. How did we get here?
All right. We'll see how they do against Washington State, who's a really good team, and we'll go from there. The ESPN put out the top rookies of the year so far, and the number one guy was Derwin James. Number two was Baker Mayfield. Number five was Bradley Chubb. And Phillip Lindsay was on that list, I believe 9 or 10 or somewhere like that, which is really amazing that Phillip Lindsay, as an undrafted guy, makes any kind of top 10 rookie of the year sort of list. That's awesome.
It's awesome for him, but this kind of thing happens all the time. John Randall's in the Hall of Fame. He was undrafted.
Mm-hmm.
James Harrison was defensive player of the year, got a 65.
Well, it doesn't happen all the time. I mean, we could go through the laundry list of guys who were undrafted this year that just either didn't make a team, or if they made a team, they've done nothing this year. There's a lot of those guys.
But the undrafted guys, they don't come with the resume that Phillip Lindsay came with.
I know. How did he get missed? How did he get overlooked?
He wasn't missed. They just thought he was too small.
Mm.
They made a decision on his size, of his physical stature, but not on the sides of his play. Because the Pac-12 is not the CMAC.
No.
You know, it's not the American Conference, which is a pretty decent conference, SMU, Memphis, teams like that.
Right.
It's the Pac-12, and he, you know, dominated as a runner
in the
Pac-12.
He was unbelievable.
And arguably the best runner in the Pac-12. I know, obviously, Royce Freeman had a lot of success at Oregon. So it just came down to, here's a guy who runs a 4.3 on his pro day, lifts incredibly well, can catch, can block, can run, can play special teams, has returned kicks in college. The boxes he checked off all along the way were great. But then there was one box about the size. They let that one determine their evaluation.
Is it a bigger story about how great Philip Lindsay has done or that Bradley Chubb is fulfilling expectations?
I think the bigger story would be Philip Lindsay far exceeding his draft status. Mm-hmm. When you're the number five pick, we expect you to have success.
Is Bradley Chubb having a season that you expected, or is he doing better than you expected?
I think he's doing what I expected. Consider what I
doing
saw.
What you expected.
What I saw him do in college.
I mean, well, but you expected that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, they have not asked him to do the full range of the defense. You know, so over the last couple of weeks, he's going a lot more forward than he was going backwards mm-hmm. early in the season. So they've removed some of the more complicated aspects of the game for him, just keeping him forward, going forward, which simplifies the defense, which leads to some of those things that Chris Harris is talking about, where there's not enough creativity and they're not moving him around enough.
Can Case Keenum, and we're a little bit over the midway point, bye week, though, is a good reflective time. Can Case Keenum be a long-term solution? I'd like to hear a scenario where he could and where you got to move on. We'll hear from Case Keenum as well next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
I was born in a small town. Not Chad. He was born in a big city.
Yeah, I was. That's okay.
Community. Were you born in Compton?
No. My sister-in-law is the mayor of Compton.
Oh, okay.
I was born in Pasadena.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Not there's anything wrong with Compton.
There's nothing wrong with Compton. It's a big area. I just thought, I thought there was some sort of connection with you and Compton.
Yeah, my sister-in-law is the mayor of Compton.
Okay.
She's married to my younger brother. They both went to USC.
Fight on.
Trojans.
There you go. Do not do that. With the fingers.
Go Buffs.
Gotcha.
That's what I do.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm getting nervous.
Hashtag Sco Buffs.
Sco Buffs. VJ on Case Keenum.
I think he's getting more comfortable in the system. You know, I mean, this is his first year in this system with Billy Muse, and it takes time to gain comfort in the system.
What do you call him? Is he Billy Muse or Billy Moose?
I think he's calling him Billy Moose.
I thought it was Billy Moose, not Billy Muse. Yeah, listen to that again.
With Billy Muse, and it takes time.
I'm pretty sure he said Billy Muse.
He said Muse. M-U-S-E, like so-and-so's my Muse.
Like he's inspired by him.
Right.
Okay.
This is his first year in this system with Billy Muse, and it takes time to gain comfort in a system like this. But I thought he played his cleanest game. He had pressure in his face, and he made plays. That 4th-and-8 play was a big-time play. So we know he can make plays, but sometimes it takes time to get your comfort level in a new offense. I think he's settling in, and we're kind of figuring out what he's good at also. So I think on both ends, you know, both sides are doing a better job with the offense.
I agree. There's a learning curve here when you're a first-year guy and you're a young coach and you got a first time where you're working with the offense coordinator kind of for the first time. Chad, there is just a learning curve. And 3-6 this year does look different than 3-6 last year.
Tell me about Patrick Mahomes' learning curve.
It's pretty awesome.
Okay.
I mean, he's 10,000 times the athlete of Case Keenum. He's so much better as an athlete than Case Keenum. It's ridiculous. He's one of the best athletes in America. I mean, let's just start there.
Okay.
Did you see him just casually tossing like 70-yard bombs from the end zone the other day? Just on, saw it on Snapface or...
Come on, don't go all Belichick on me.
Twittergram.
Snapface.
No, I don't know where I saw it. I just saw him like casually.
Yeah.
Standing in the end zone, warming up for a game, 70 yards.
The ability of he and Aaron Rodgers to make throws without involving their feet, that's just amazing to me.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
He could have been a Major League Baseball player easily. Easily could have been a Major League Baseball player. He's arguably going to be the MVP of this league, especially now that the Rams have lost at least a game that, you know, it's looking better and better for him. I think it's an unfair comparison. I'm not really sure what team.
Why is that unfair? They're both NFL quarterbacks. One makes $20 million a year. What is unfair about that? One was brought in to be the quarterback to stabilize a franchise. Elway was drafted to be the future quarterback of a franchise. I don't see what's unfair about that.
He's so much better than Case Keenum.
But maybe that part is different.
So you asked about the learning curve. I mean, okay, fine.
Well, you're trying to make some excuses for a guy.
Am I? Is that how it sounds?
A little bit.
I'm not having a reasonable conversation that it takes a little bit of time to develop and things are getting a little bit better and Keenum actually looked as good in this game that they just lost as he has at any time. I mean, all right, Case Keenum next year is what? Here we are. It's next year. Or it's the beginning of the year. What's Case Keenum's role in this team?
That's a good question. This is going to be an incredibly interesting offseason, so I don't know. We're talking about a team that will probably need a mostly new offensive line. A quarterback is going to be in the question of new needs.
You don't think Matt Paradis is going to come back healthy?
Well, that's we'll one position. That. Right. He's got, so it's more than just the fibula.
Del Deere will probably be out. Yep. He'll be gone.
Yeah, I've broken the fibula. But
Ron Leary's probably at the end of his time, right?
It's slowing down for sure. And to come
and
back
Bowles,
from that injury?
Bowles is terrible.
Yeah, so we're talking about a mostly new offensive line.
I'm with you. Okay.
Mostly new quarterback, most likely. A need for a second and a third and a fourth corner, most likely.
Right.
New inside linebackers.
Can
probably.
You see where I'm like not jumping all over draft a quarterback here next year?
Well,
when the quarterback class is kind of meh anyways?
Right. So it's impossible for me to look at the Case Keenum thing without looking at all the other pieces to the puzzle that are needed. There could be a new head coach. There could be a new GM.
You're making a great argument, backing up more or less what I said, like, of all the things that you need, do we really have time to get a new quarterback and develop him when we have Case Keenum? Isn't the better time to do that after next year in 2020 to see how this thing has actually worked out with Case Keenum? I mean, doesn't Case get another year?
I think at the quarterback position, you should always be aggressive like Kansas City, recognizing Alex Smith has a window and a limit to him.
Yeah, but they were really aggressive. They were giving away first-round draft picks to move from 27 to 10. That's beyond just taking a quarterback every round. He's our guy. We believe in him forever. He's our forever quarterback.
I think you should always be in hunt for your franchise quarterback. You should always. The Patriots draft the quarterbacks, even though they had Tom Brady.
You don't think Case Keenum could be a franchise quarterback?
In the true sense of a franchise quarterback?
Yes.
Not the sense of he's our quarterback and this is an NFL franchise.
Right.
But he's a top 10 quarterback who can lead us to the playoffs.
He's Patrick Mahomes. I mean.
No.
No. Case Keenum's not that.
I haven't seen it. One game without an interception, and suddenly the whole narrative has changed. Just shocking to me. The narrative is pretty clear.
I agree with you.
And I'm not trying to bag on Case
Keenum.
But
I just don't, when you make the case about the offensive line, cornerback situation, like I'm digging into stuff next year, and the kid that keeps popping up in terms of a top 10 cornerback is this DeAndre Baker out of Georgia. Okay, so I'm looking at DeAndre Baker, and he looks pretty good. You know, we look at ESPN, the top rookies. The top two rookies ESPN has are Derwin James, secondary guy, and Denzel Ward, secondary guy.
Mm-hmm.
With Baker Mayfield 3 and Bradley Chubb 5. There's two secondary guys who are both top 10 dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Or was Derwin James? Nah, he was outside the top 10, I think. But anyways, those are the top two guys. So you mean to tell me, in a quarterback sort of weak class, we're going to pass on somebody who could potentially be one of the top corners in the league next year when we really don't have that?
No. I'm not saying you reach for a quarterback because you do have an insurance policy in Case Keenum. But if the opportunity is there, I think you should always be pursuing your future Hall of Fame quarterback.
But don't you have to identify who that guy is?
Of course you do.
And then, okay.
But to look at
halfway, who's going to do that?
Who's going to do that?
Yeah.
The folks over there who are there now.
John Elway.
Gary Kubiak.
Matt Russell. That crew.
There's no one else over there to do it.
The same crew that brought you Paxton Lynch.
I'm not saying that they're going to come out with the perfect pick. I'm just simply saying as an organizational philosophy, my philosophy would always be to go after a potential Hall of Fame quarterback if I can find him, if I can get him.
So was last year the reason they didn't because they really believed in Paxton Lynch? Probably, right? They wanted to see it all the way through.
If that is the case, that they actually really believe that Paxton Lynch could
be a potential Hall of Fame quarterback. What else would it be?
Then I call into question lots of things in that decision.
Well, what else would it be?
I think it ties more into what we were talking about earlier. When you start surrounding yourself with your friends, or you start making personnel decisions based on who you drafted a couple of years ago as opposed to who is this guy, who is he proven to be, what kind of player do I think he can be based on real evidence other than the fact that I drafted him.
Yeah.
Your opinion from 3 years ago should not affect your opinion from 3 years today.
303-713-1043. That's the RamosLaw.com text line. Phone line as well. You can call and chime in. There was something interesting that happened in the election yesterday that may affect Chad Kelly. What could that be? I'll tell you next.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Soul from Philadelphia.
All along with me.
So
waiting for the sunlight.
I think I'm gonna have a little bit of this cookie from Chipotle. Oh yeah.
When I feel cold.
All right.
You warm me.
No, I gotta get to the chorus at least. Like right, turn it up a little bit. This sounds good in your car.
You come and hold me.
Come on.
It's you and me. Forever, Sarah.
This song is for Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Oh, won't you smile?
Did you see the? I thought President Trump today and Jim Acosta from CNN were gonna fight.
If you feel like
have you seen the highlights of that today?
I watched it,
dude.
Disappointing. On a couple different levels.
Did you want Acosta to just swing away at one point?
No, I do not want to see what we see in other countries where there's violence at, you know, political events, not just like rallies, but violence between politicians. I don't want to see that.
It was wild.
But
it was wild. By the way, I'm going to give the White House some advice. Here's how they handle it in the world of sports. They hand you the microphone. And as soon as you're done asking the question, you are to turn the microphone back over to the person that gave you the microphone. It was funny watching it because the way it literally works at the Broncos press conferences that are like broadcast on ESPN or NFL Network, you know, when they need a microphone like post game, when we're just sitting around there with VJ, you know, they don't need that. But when you have a bigger thing like the commissioner's press conference.
Been there with you.
Right. You ask the question. And as soon as that question's done, you are to hand the microphone back to the person you don't just sit there holding the microphone. No, this is the way we do it. You ask the question, I'm going to take the microphone back. I mean, that is literally how it happens in the NFL. So when I'm watching this White House press conference today, I'm like, why aren't they just taking the microphone back? And then the White House aide, she was trying to get the microphone back from Jim Acosta, and he wasn't surrendering the microphone.
I'm sure there'll be some.
That was unbelievable.
Some new procedure in place, but I'm hoping that the White House operates at a higher level than the NFL as far as integrity and honesty. I know that's not the case.
Stop with that. I'm just talking about the mechanics of asking a question.
Right, but
don't get into honesty and integrity with the media and the White House, Chad. Please.
But my point is, I understand Roger Goodell is going to try to control the narrative and spew out some propaganda to some difficult question that you ask at a Super Bowl press conference. I understand that, and I'm in some ways okay with that. I would just love it if the White House and the press corps were able to deal with each other and answer questions in a civil manner.
Dude, I'm looking at this thing. I'm laughing because I'm thinking, wow, I wonder if I was allowed to stand 2 feet away from Goodell, stand up, not surrender the microphone, and just like hammer him with questions.
Well,
can you imagine? Be entertaining.
It'd be entertaining. Hopefully Goodell would answer the question.
Then shut up. Sit down. Go away.
That's not answering the question.
politics.
I guess it does answer the question.
There was,
actually,
in Colorado, I think it was mostly Democrats that won, right? Did I get that right?
In here, Colorado?
In the state?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we have a Democrat now as governor. We've got Mike Hoffman lost in Arapahoe County. And my old radio partner, I used to do shows with George Brockler back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
A long time ago. Like George. But he lost, I guess. But I guess it was really close. And he didn't concede right away. There is a feeling out there, by the way. George would have been tough, specifically on the Chad Kelly case. I'd heard that from several different lawyers. That, because when I was digging into the Chad Kelly thing, it was like, the word out on the street was like, you know, if George was the DA, he was, you know, he was going to hold Chad Kelly's feet to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about, I don't even know who won. Somebody else, not George. And I don't know how it's going to go, but there is a feeling that whatever trouble Chad Kelly was going to get into will kind of just go away. There's a hearing tomorrow with the Chad Kelly case, by the way. I'm not sure if you knew that or not.
Did not know.
Yeah. You know, there's all sorts of procedures with stuff. So tomorrow there's something. But because of the results of the election last night, Chad Kelly may have legally, you know, lucked out. Kind of weird, right? That there's some sort of connection there. We'll see how it pans out. But then again, who cares about Chad Kelly, right?
He's not on this team.
He's not on this team.
As an NFL coach would always say, I'm going to worry about the guys who are here.
Right. I mean, think about it. People, you other people, and kind of over Case Keenum. Paxton Lynch can't get a job. What's Paxton Lynch been doing all year? Working out, trying out for teams.
And getting turned down.
Pretty rough, right? I mean, what has to happen for Paxton Lynch to get back in the NFL? Does he have to go to Canada?
No, I think he'll get a training camp offer next year.
You do?
Yeah. To bring somebody in season who's still so far behind the NFL curve, you really, you know, unless you see some kind of incredible spark that says, you know what, this is a guy we can work with towards the future, during in season is not the time to do that. You get a chance to bring him in maybe for some veteran mini camps next year, and then you can see then. That's a more appropriate time to deal with a project that would be.
Okay. Chad Kelly, as it turns out, they weren't all that into. Anyways. A lot of the fans were into him, but apparently the coaches weren't.
Fans always love the backup and the third string quarterback.
I mean, come on, let's be honest. Why do you think it was so easy to let Chad go?
Yeah.
Come on. Aqib Talib shot himself. All right? I mean, I get it. It wasn't cool what Chad did. He shouldn't be stumbling into people's front rooms. But Aqib Talib shot himself while he admitted he was drunk and high in a public park. Not only did he remain on
that?
I haven't.
That hasn't happened to you before?
Well, I never faced that you know, gun-toting squirrel like we speculated attacked Aqib.
That's never happened to you, huh?
No.
Darn gangster squirrels.
Those gangster squirrels.
Across from the strip club.
We joke about the squirrels because we're trying to figure out the trajectory of the wound. Like, how exactly, because it was in such a place. If he didn't shoot himself, exactly who would get the angle and the...
You digress.
Not only did Aqib not get fired from the team, he was named a captain the next year.
Yeah.
And he didn't get suspended from the NFL. And Roger Goodell came to the Broncos training camp, and him and Aqib were like best friends. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah, Aqib Talib is on NFL Network all the time now. Helps that he's in
LA. Dude shot himself.
Yeah. He has managed to somehow remove that from his story.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
No consequence at all. Chad Kelly on something, or lots of drunk, one or the other, you know, makes an unfortunate mistake, stumbles into a house, and you're fired.
Now,
Aqib Talib had a .22 going off in a public park.
I'm not saying...
I don't know if it was a 22 or something.
I'm not saying either one is okay, but quarterbacks are held to a much different standard than cornerbacks. They are.
Good quarterbacks are. If you're not a good quarterback, or you're not a good corner, if you're not a good football player, the standard all of a sudden raises through the roof. Then if you're just some sort of unbelievable player like Aqib Talib, I was like, oh, oh, you shot yourself. Hey.
It's just a flesh wound.
It's just, are you okay? Oh. Still to this day, I mean, I guess it's kind of funny because nobody got hurt, although somebody could have got killed. The only person that could have got killed in Chad Kelly's story is Chad Kelly.
Right.
Pac-Man Jones, who thought he was going to work out? Anybody? Meanwhile, Alexander Johnson, A.J. Johnson, is getting playing time now. He had a fun 3-year sabbatical.
He's a beast on special teams.
Okay. Looks cool. You got to do some soul searching here, Broncos. And as it turns out, they traded the wrong receiver.
You think?
Well, only because Emmanuel's much better than DT at this stage. Would you agree with me or not?
Yeah.
So there's more value with Emmanuel, correct? You're going to get a higher level player or more draft capital with Emmanuel rather than DT, correct?
So you would give away a guy who could be potentially helpful to you in the future.
Well, what's the future? What future are we talking about?
We don't know.
Well, what do you think?
We don't know.
What do you think?
For Emmanuel?
The future of the team.
We don't know.
What future are we talking about?
Everything is up for question.
What good is the greatest wide receiver that you got if the future is Case Keenum and 5-11 again? Or 7-9? What's the point?
You can't give away all your pieces.
You drafted Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton. You can draft more wide receivers. You had Demaryius Thomas, who, by the way, revealed that he would have taken a pay cut. You think Emmanuel's going to take a pay cut? Dang, if I was Emmanuel.
No,
let me give you some props, Emmanuel. If I was Emmanuel, I'd be instantly asking for more money in this situation. I got 1 year left on my deal. You've made me the number one receiver. I'm the 16th highest paid receiver. Why shouldn't I be a top 10 guy? A top 10 guy would give him a significant raise.
Right.
Why wouldn't he make that argument?
I don't understand the logic of...
Because you could have got a second or a third round pick for Emmanuel, and you can get another Cortland Sutton, or you can get a Royce Freeman. You know, the further you go on the draft...
There's no role for DT next year. There's still a role for Emmanuel next year.
Yeah, he's the best receiver on the team. He's the best offensive player on the team.
Right.
There's a significant role. What do you think the Broncos are going to go next year?
Wait. You've already... Hold on. Earlier in the show, you talked about that Elway is having a difficult time admitting that he needs to rebuild. So the guy who made the decision to trade Demaryius was suddenly going to be enlightened with this trade scenario and realize, I got to rebuild, so let me get rid of the best possible guy so I get the best possible trade value, instead of thinking, here's a piece we're not going to need next year. We've already found his replacement who makes much less money.
You're making sense, but you're making sense and agreeing with me all at the same time.
That's possible. It's rare, but it's possible.
We'll get to. Meanwhile, Stink had a beef with me. We're doing Stink had what? What could he for, about what? Mark, what?
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
Here's what D-Mac said in Twitter, and he attached me, which I appreciate. Why is a player even asking his coach about being traded? What exactly is VJ supposed to say? Well, I can tell you what he should say is, listen, that's John's job, not my job. Hey, everybody's up. We're 3-5. Everybody's job is on the line. Boom. End of story. Not, hey, you've got nothing to worry about. Don't listen to the rumors. Nothing to see here. We're not trading you. But anyhow, I continue. Ah, yes, you're being traded now, go out there and play great. That's a silly thing for an athlete to do. DT should know that. So it's silly for DT to even ask his coach, is what DMAC is intimating. So let me ask you this. Any walk of life, any business that you're in, DMAC, I would ask you, if the rumor on the street was 104.3 The Fan was being bought by a different radio conglomerate that just did nothing but news talk and we were all losing our jobs, would you just sit there and keep your mouth shut and continue to do your job until you got fired? Or would you say, hey, is this rumor, is there any validity? Would you go to the PD? Would you go to the head of the station and go, is there any validity to this? Because I would like to know so that I can set myself up for another job. Why does common sense never apply to a player? Oh, because we make a lot of money, so we're not entitled? Oh, you know, DT makes $11 million. He shouldn't be asking anything. He should be thankful, and he should just do his job, and he should just keep his mouth shut because he makes more than I'll make in my lifetime. Up yours! Why can't a player be human? I think he can. And I'm happy for DT, man, because he gets to go to a place that's winning games right now when he gets his place on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.